He put a hand into a leather bag that hung from his sword belt, which was strapped over a torn mail coat. He had money now, two arm rings, proper boots, an iron helmet, a long sword, and the mail coat that needed mending, but was far better protection than the rags he had worn when he first came to Ragnar's house. "This coin, if you'll catch a frog," he said, spinning a silver penny in the air. "I don't want to catch a frog," I said sullenly. "I do," he said, grinning, and he drew the sword, its blade hissing on the scabbard's wooden throat, and he stepped into the pool, the water not reaching the tops of his boots, and the frog leaped away, plopping into the green scum. And Wayland was not looking at the frog, but at me, and I knew he was going to kill me, but for some reason I could not move. I was astonished, and yet I was not astonished. I had never liked him, never trusted him, and I understood that he had been sent to kill me and had only failed because I had always been in company until this moment when I had let Breeder lead me away from Ragnar's band. So Wayland had his chance now. He smiled at me, reached the centre of the pool, came closer, raised the sword, and I found my feet at last and raced back into the pillared walkway. I did not want to go into the house, for Breeder was there, and I knew he would kill her if he found her. He jumped out of the pond and chased me, and I raced down the walkway, around the corner, and he cut me off, and I dodged back, wanting to reach the gateway. But he knew that was what I wanted, and he took care to keep between me and my escape. His boots left wet footprints on the Roman flagstones. "What's the matter, Uhtred?" he asked. "Frightened of frogs?" "What do you want?" I asked. "Not so cocky now, eh, Elderman?" He stalked toward me, sword flashing from side to side. "Your uncle sends his regards and trusts you will burn in hell while he lives in Bebbanburg." "You come from—" I began. But it was obvious Wayland was serving Aelfric, so I did not bother to finish the question, but instead edged backward. "The reward for your death will be the weight of his newborn child in silver," Wayland said, "and the child should be born by now. And he's impatient for your death, your uncle is. I almost managed to track you down that night outside Snottingham, and almost hit you with an arrow last winter, but you ducked. Not this time. But it will be quick, boy. Your uncle said to make it quick. So kneel down, boy. Just kneel." He swept the blade left and right, his wrist whippy so the sword hissed. "I haven't given her a name yet," he said. "Perhaps after this, she'll be known as Orphan Killer." I fainted right, went left, but he was quick as a stoat, and he blocked me, and I knew I was cornered, and he knew it too, and smiled. "I'll make it quick," he said. "I promise." Then the first roof tile hit his helmet. It could not have hurt much, but the unexpected blow jarred him backward and confused him, and the second tile hit his waist, and the third smacked him on the shoulder, and Breeder shouted from the roof, "Back through the house!" I ran, the lunging sword missing me by inches, and I twisted through the door, ran over the fish-drawn chariot, through a second door, another door, saw an open window and dove through, and Breeder jumped down from the roof and together we ran for the nearby woods. Wayland followed me, but he abandoned the pursuit when we vanished in the trees. Instead, he went south, on his own, fleeing what he knew Ragnar would do to him. And for some reason, I was in tears by the time I found Ragnar again. Why did I cry? I do not know, unless it was the confirmation that Bebbanburg was gone, that my beloved refuge was occupied by an enemy, and an enemy who, by now, might have a son. Breeder received an arm ring, and Ragnar let it be known that if any man touched her, he, Ragnar, would personally geld that man with a mallet and a plank splitter. She rode home on Wayland's horse. And the next day the enemy came,